If you do not have the little booklet, if you can hold up your hand, I know I have enough. If you don't have one of these little booklets called Barnabas, Mr. Encouragement, I will make sure you have one. It is a joy for me to be here, and especially to have my dear wife at my side. Last week she was holding the fort back at Grace Church there, and with the library, and also with a concern that we had a special farewell for our pianist at Amica, where we had a service at 2:15 and then a service last at Barton at 7. But you know, it's amazing, we never know what a day will bring forth. And even as we left here, and we're thankful for the privilege of looking at Barnabas's life the first half, even at Amica, as I arrived there, I went up to the second floor where those, most of them are in wheelchairs, and was bringing them down, and to be told that two of them would be unable to come. And so I went and saw one young gentleman of the age of 96. I've known him for over 10 years, and so I went in, and there he was with his dear daughter, and he was not able to come, but I was able to be with him and to pray with him. But little did I know that on Monday morning, he went home to be with the Lord. And then just yesterday, I had the burial with the family, and then at 2 o'clock this afternoon, we have a celebration of life at Roadhouse and Rhodes in Newmarket. I thank the Lord that he keeps me busy. You know, it's a wonderful privilege to come alongside. And the service this afternoon, I would appreciate your prayer, because there's going to be between 100 and 150 people, and many, many of those probably don't enter a church. I had a beautiful time with the family, but again, as we share God's word, and as Jack is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a privilege to know that hope. And so it is a joy to be with you. And if you want to follow along in your Bibles, all of the verses will be coming from the book of Acts, or you can use the sheets. I have written out not all the verses, but you can follow along as we go. And we're going to, and they will be up behind me too. You will remember that last week I began a story about a father who had a concern given to him when he visited his son at Rift Valley Academy. The principal and a number of the teachers were concerned that he was hanging out with the wrong crowd. When that son was confronted by his father, the son said, "Dad, he needs a friend. He has been suspended. He has got in trouble, but I want to be that friend." And so we found that he took the time to be that companion that he needed. Well, the story continues. After graduation from Rift Valley Academy, the two boys went their separate ways, one to the U.S. and one to Ontario. Their friendship was found the opportunity to show encouragement in a different way. There was need for companionship and for training, just like Barnabas showed to Saul. You remember how Barnabas, last Sunday, he became a companion to the very unlikable Saul, the murderer turned believer. And we also saw how Barnabas showed encouragement by training leadership when he brought Saul from Tarsus to Antioch, and there trained Saul for a year. But this story continues as because this young man came to his dad and said, "Dad, my friend is having a hard time adjusting back in North America. He's not doing well. And I would like to help him succeed. I want him to come and to live with me here in Ontario in order to take a welding course in Toronto. He needs training in a trade as well as a friend to encourage him. The dad responded, "It's not easy for him to get a student visa. It's not easy for him to get into the course. But if this is what you want to do, then you make all the arrangements." Typically, all parents want their children to choose friends that will enhance them, that will strengthen them in their spiritual growth. This father was no exception and was concerned of the negative fallout of this continuing friendship. But there were surprising results. This son's friend not only came to live in Ontario, also trained well, completing the welding course with only positive results. This son's mom was also pleased to have two hungry boys each weekend to clear out the fridge and to keep the washing machine running steady. True friendships are a risk. There are potential problems, but again, the son showed both encouragement of companionship and encouragement of training leadership. The friend returned to the U.S. to begin a useful career, and her friendship became even stronger. On your sheet, you see on the very first page, we had the encouragement of sacrificing ownership, and also we had the encouragement of shared companionship. Today, we are going to study four more examples of Mr. Encouragement, how he shows encouragement. The fifth example comes from Acts chapter 11, the encouragement of showing stewardship. Reading from Acts 11, verse 25 and 28. "During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius." This is an actual historical fact that this happened. The background of Acts chapter 11 is important. Remember how first Barnabas had come to Antioch? Do you remember how he saw the church was growing and loving God? He wasn't jealous. He was excited in someone else's success. And then he made that long journey. Remember, we taught it was 2 weeks walk all the way over to Tarsus to get Saul, and 2 weeks back to bring him. And for 1 year, Saul was under the tutelage of Barnabas. Then a famine arose in Judea. It actually happened. What would be their response? How would they react to the situation? Here they were at the church in Antioch. Everything was going well, but then word comes that Jerusalem was in a famine. It's interesting, Acts 11, 29 and 30 says, "The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did," and please note, "sending their gift to the elders in Jerusalem, by whom? Barnabas and Saul." Our Mr. Encouragement, Barnabas, was dispatched along with Saul to bring the gifts to the needy church there in Jerusalem. The encouragement of showing stewardship. Now, what do we learn from this example? First of all, the response was immediate. The response was significant. Why do I say that? These were Gentile people helping Jewish believers. They were going outside of their own group and they wanted to help them. Secondly, why such a response? Because of the love of Christ and the cross of Christ makes a difference. Please notice in verse 29, each as was able. The response was unanimous, spontaneous, and proportionate. We all can't give the same, but we can all give as God provides. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, "And on the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." Paul was very practical. What's the application? I am sure that Saul probably learned the principle of giving at this time, and later taught others when he wrote the book of Corinthians and the book of Galatians. What does this teach us about Barnabas? It demonstrates biblical stewardship. It also shows how trustworthy, how honest Barnabas was, and in action again. And so we've seen these first five ways. But before we go on to our sixth example, and if you're following along, we will be on the next page. We're over on page three, as we will come back. But before we do that, I want to glance at Acts chapter 12, verse 25. Acts 12, 25 says that when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission. Now, what mission was that? When they had gone all the way from Antioch down to Jerusalem, had given the money that had been raised, what did they do? They returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. A very key verse. The historical background of this, we have to understand, who is this John Mark? In Colossians 4:10, we read that Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Barnabas knew John Mark. And so probably Barnabas and Saul stayed at his mother's house while they were in Jerusalem. And what Barnabas did to Saul through friendship and discipleship, he was starting all over. Just because you do it with one person doesn't mean the job's done. And again, he's doing it with Mark, his cousin, and showing companionship. I can just imagine Barnabas saying at the house, he says, "Come along, Mark. Just come along and see what we're doing. See what God is doing." And so Mr. Encouragement never stops being Mr. Encouragement wherever he's found. Let's look at our next example. The encouragement of making a partnership. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 3, this Antioch church was growing, and in the church of Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucas of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." And so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Today we would call it the call to missionary service overseas. The Antioch church, through its leaders, expressed fellowship with Barnabas and Saul and recognized them as their first missionaries. And they sent them out. Notice, the whole church sent them out, and it was to the whole church that they were to make a report. This is very important. In Acts 14, verses 26 and 27, as I read. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch. So this is at the end of the first missionary journey, where they had committed to the grace of God for the work that they had now completed. This is Barnabas and Saul had gone on their first missionary journey, and they were coming back where? To the church that sent them. And arriving there, what did they do? They gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. When Joanne and I left for Africa in 1969, my home church, Newton Brook Baptist in Willowdale, and Joanne's home church in Orillia, First Baptist Church, they formed a partnership with us and sent us to Congo. It wasn't an easy situation. The rebellion had taken place in 64. It took 5 years of fighting before it became safe enough. And I know it was hard on, especially on our parents. As I was taking, Joanne's mom and dad were concerned because I was taking their oldest daughter to a place where they just finished killing everybody. But we went, and we were very thankful that God stood behind us. And in 1984, Grace Church, that was a few years after 69, but they came on board, and by then God had blessed us with four wonderful children, and we needed some more support and prayer support, and so Grace Church came on board. And we are thankful for this partnership, which continues. You know, and every 5 years, every fifth year, we would come back. And it was always the case that we found a house to rent in Newmarket. It was a delicate balance between my home church in Willowdale and Joanne's home church in Orillia. And really, the best for the two was that we have somewhere in the middle. And that's where God wonderfully provided. And, you know, we, all these years, and even when we came back to Newmarket, and Joanne continued at the home office for 10 years, there going down every week. And then even now, she still reads all of the applications for new missionaries going out because they appreciate her insight that she has. And so we're thankful that, you know, we've had this relationship, and it's critical. I encourage you. I notice that you've got 8 different missionaries over there. May I give you a little advice? When they come home, take the time to let them share. You know, one of the most frustrating things for me was when we were away for 4 years serving the Lord, and then a church would say, "You've got 5 minutes. How can you share the Lord's blessing in 5 minutes? It's impossible. So if for no other reason, missionaries come home, they're excited what God is doing, you can encourage the missionary by listening to what God has done, and you will be blessed. So that's just a little something that we have had churches that welcomed us and gave us all the time we wanted, but then there was times when, you know, it's hard to share the Lord's blessing in 5 minutes. In Philippians 1:3-6, it says, "I thank my God every time I remember you, and in all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Jesus Christ, the day he comes back." And so, when one of your missionaries come home, don't miss the blessing. Have them over for a meal. Spend time with them, and you will be blessed, and they will be blessed. Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Antioch church as the first foreign missionaries. This team effort, which also included John Mark, first went to Cyprus. Isn't it interesting? The first place that they went on their missionary journey was to Barnabas' hometown. That's where Barnabas was born. Well, the story I told you about this young man continues. And it's interesting that even though he risked his reputation to be a friend, even though there was a need for companionship and training as he invited this young man up to live with him, there were special days in the future. When this boy, this son, was getting married, and by the way, to another RVA grad, the question was asked, who should be in the wedding party? Every person in the wedding party, except one, came from Rift Valley Academy. Included was a friend from RVA that had been helped and encouraged. For MKs, distance means nothing when friendships are real. Even when the first child was born, who came halfway across the U.S. to hold this bundle of joy? You're right. It was the same friend that had been helped when he was hurting. Isn't that beautiful? True friendships are a risk, but there are real blessings. How do I know this? I'm and my son taught me some beautiful lessons on stepping out and being a friend. And you can do the same. Let's move on. We move into chapter 13 of Acts. And we need to understand the background of Acts 13 to 15. This new partnership of Barnabas and Saul was sent out from Antioch. It was interesting that very firmly, and you have to study the scriptures very carefully, Barnabas was the leader. Saul was the follower. Barnabas was in charge. Paul was the assistant. 14 times scriptures refer to Barnabas during this first missionary journey. But I want you to notice something very interesting that slowly takes place during this missionary time. Barnabas was quiet and reserved. Paul was fiery and he was the orator. Here we see the supreme test of encouragement. The ability to follow. I call this the encouragement of accepting second place. Many of us, God blesses us to be leaders, but it really becomes tough when you need to step down and let someone else take over. I want you to notice, and you can on the screen here, Acts 11. There's a whole bunch of verses. I want you to Bible study is important, and I want you to see the pattern. Acts 11, by Barnabas and Saul. Acts 12, 25, when Barnabas and Saul. Acts 13, 2 and 7, by Barnabas and Saul. You can see who the leader was. But then we get to Acts 13. 42, 43, 46, 50. Paul and Barnabas. Ooh. Then in 14, 12, Barnabas they called Zeus. And Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. Do you see what's taking place? Acts 15, 2, 22, 35. Paul and Barnabas. Now, if you have read through this, I want to show you there's a problem. If this is the pattern, you have Saul, and then you have Barnabas and Saul, and then you switch it to Paul and Barnabas, what about Acts 15, 12 and Acts 15, 25? It says Barnabas and Paul. You got to be consistent. You know why? If you read Acts chapter 15, it's a whole different matter. They are called to go down to Jerusalem to a Jerusalem council. All right? Who was the elder in Jerusalem? Barnabas. You go back to your old church where you were a leader, it stands to reason that just this little spot, it wasn't when they were on the road, immediately the Jerusalem church gives the respect to Barnabas because he was their elder before he left on the missionary journey, before he went to Antioch. And so out of respect, the Jerusalem church refers to Barnabas and Paul. That's why those two verses are reversed. It didn't break the pattern. Now, what's the application? We don't know for sure that probably Barnabas was the older one in years. Without doubt, he was more experienced, more learned through the tests of time. But what an example of encouragement of accepting second place. Unselfishly stepping back, and I am sure that the younger man, Paul, was glad to know that the veteran was at his side. Now, before we move on to our second view of Paul's life in the book, and our last one in the book of Acts 15, I want us to review the character John Mark. In Acts 12, we learn that John Mark was invited by Barnabas to return with Paul and himself to assist them at Antioch. Acts 13, verse 15 tells us that John Mark accompanied them on their first missionary journey as a helper. Unfortunately, John Mark left them at Perga and Pamphylia to return to Jerusalem. No reason is given why in the middle of the first missionary journey, John Mark goes home. We don't know why. But in Acts 13:13, it says, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga. Notice how Paul's the leader. Where John Mark left them to return to Jerusalem. So Barnabas' sidekick, for some reason, jumped ship. Now we come to our last example, the toughest. The encouragement of giving a second chance. The background of Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas were about to leave on their second missionary journey. Something had gone wrong that caused John Mark to go home. The real question was as to whether he should be forgiven and granted another trial opportunity. Would you read with me, please? Acts 15, 36 to 41. This is a powerful passage. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, hey, do you see the switch? It's not Barnabas. Barnabas was the one that sent them out on the first missionary journey. But now it's Paul saying to Barnabas, we got to go on another missionary journey. Let us go back and visit the brothers of all the towns that where we have preached the word of the Lord to see how they're doing. Verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with him. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Whoa! Two missionaries? Men of God? Parted company? One went out that door and one went out that door. But Paul chose, it says, Barnabas took Mark and sailed for, of course, Cyprus, his hometown. Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and strengthening the churches. Barnabas took a more lenient view towards his cousin. Barnabas accepted John Mark's weaknesses and was willing to give him a second chance. It must have been a very distressing incident. And yet, dear friends, it's beautiful about the Bible. It's not a better... with the roses, there are also the thorns. God overruled, and as a result of this disagreement, the teams were expanded to go in two directions. Here is what I call the encouragement of giving a second chance. Now here's our challenge. One of the most serious problems on the mission field, and in fact in most churches, is personal relationships. I've had to learn and still have much more to learn. I'm still learning. Sometimes it's necessary to agree and to disagree. In this example, the difference was forgiven and forgotten in later years. God overruled human frailties. His work goes on, sometimes in spite of us. Paul harbored no resentment against Barnabas and later asked for John Mark to come. Notice this verse in 2 Timothy 4:11. Get John Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Wow. Now, I can imagine Paul was brilliant. I thank the Lord that I'm just an ordinary guy that wasn't brilliant. And I had my brother Don, he was really smart. My twin sister, she was not only smart but perfect. But my brother Norman and I, we were the other end of the... And don't tell any story, Bruce. Anyways, but it's interesting how I can see Paul saying, I'm not going to waste my time with a guy who quits. And you can see that in people who really know what they're doing and have, and that was his personality. But remember, Barnabas was Mr. Encouragement. And I can imagine, it says they parted company. Paul went with Silas and Barnabas went with John Mark. But here is the final thing that you may not know. Do you know who John Mark is? John Mark is the one who wrote the book of Mark. He is the author of the second gospel. We may not have had that book if Mr. Encouragement, even to the point of having to break with his student that he trained and took over and goes his own way. Barnabas says, I'm going to love my cousin John Mark to the end. And look what we have. We have the book of Mark. Isn't that amazing? Now, we've looked at 8 examples. And God wants us to be encouragers. We all have a job to do. You have all the examples here. But I'd like you to just take out the middle sheet. This is the teacher in me. I always have at Amica and Barton, they always know when we have a series, I always have one Sunday is the so what. It's not just learning facts. It's what do I do about it? And dear friends, I've given you 6 examples. Look at the first one. Encouragement 2. You put the person's name. By, what you're going to do. I've got a neighbor, Bill, and I'm going to send him a note just to encourage him. When? This week. And then you make it into a prayer request and you pray about it. Okay? There's not one person in this room who doesn't have an opportunity to encourage someone. We've had 8 examples of 8 different ways that Barnabas demonstrated by his life. Dear friends, I encourage you to fill out all 6, maybe 1 at a time. And you know who's going to be blessed? You. So many times when I go into the hospital, I go with the right motive. I want to be a blessing to the ones who are sick. But you know who's blessed? I am. What a privilege. Those who are, we've got so many now at Amica and Barton and Renoir that are now in their 90s. And I've been at Amica for the last 13 years, every other week, having a service. And this gentleman who went to be with the Lord, and this afternoon I have a celebration. I just pray that even as we have the service this afternoon, that I can be an encouragement to those at the service who know the Lord, because we're going to talk about John 14, 1-6. We're going to talk about the Lord is my shepherd. They're going to hear the gospel. And I would ask you to pray. It's wonderful, and I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I have a dear lady who we visit every Friday. Her name is Bea Bogue, and she's 102. She cannot see, she can hardly hear, but she's sharp as a cookie. And she often has said to me, "Why am I still here?" I said, "Bea, you are my Moses. You're on the mountaintop, and you're praying, and you know, she is praying for me right now. And when I go and see her this week, she'll ask me, how did it go at Bridletown?" She'll probably forget the word park, because sometimes I just say Bridletown, but that's all right. But you know what? At 102, she is my number one prayer warrior. And one day, very soon, God's going to take her home. And I challenge to those of you who are half that age, we need people to pray. If you say there's nothing I can do, I guarantee you there's one thing you can do. You can pray. On this list, if there's nothing else, put down a name and you pray for that person, and you'll be amazed how God is going to make you an encourager. You know, Barnabas is my life study. I first spoke of this back at RVA. I did it actually eight chapels with the students at Rift Valley Academy back in the 90s. And then I did it once again in the early 2000s. And now this is my third time. But every time I'm learning more. In fact, every time I see something on Barnabas, I want to read about it because I'm so excited of his example. But I don't want you to remember Barnabas. Remember who gave Barnabas the love to encourage? It's the Lord Jesus. But as we close, dear friends, if you have not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, you can try to be an encourager. It's amazing the people who are trying to get their way to heaven by doing good, giving to people, being kind. But for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the lessons that you have taught me on this life of Barnabas. Oh, Lord, help me to be an encourager. I've got so much that I need to learn. And Lord, it's not me, it's you. May the beauty of Jesus be seen in each one of us. Lord, and I start with myself. Even this afternoon, as I mingle with the family and as we are together for the celebration of this life, Jack, who's now in your presence, Lord, thank you that you've told us to have life and to have abundant life. We are to have the joy of the Lord right now. And that joy comes in that word joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. J is for Jesus, for he takes first place. O is for others, we meet face to face. Y is for you, and I know it is true. Put yourself last and spell joy. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege. We pray for Adi as he makes his way home with the team. Give him journeying mercies. Continue to bless them, and for Anna and the family, Lord, and for each one here, and those who are hurting, Lord, thank you that you've told us to cast our cares upon you. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.